and welcome to this week's edition of Situational Awareness. I'm your host, Mark. I play Glebnor, and I'm joined, as always, by the Chaos Crew and my fabulous DM. Let's take it around the horn.
Eric playing Cosmo.
Rich playing Theo.
Howard playing Taluga.
And Ryan playing everyone else.
What a fun one, guys. A little Slooble Drips Flobberknocker.
Yeah.
Gave me too much power.
Yeah, it was.
The dice were on fire.
Yeah.
And like you talk about the way of the plane that was... Prodigal. Prodigal pleen.
I mean, yeah. Let's just say it. When the religion checks count, Bleebly delivers.
I legitimately, not even as a DM, as a human being, I am starting to believe in Bleebly. Because you have a minus one to religion.
No, I have
right?
I have a plus one.
Okay. There's no reason for you to be hitting these this hard. Anytime it's stupid funny, you get an at 20 in religion. I don't even know what to do with them.
What is it about you running Kuatoas that fuck you over so bad?
I have no idea. Every time there's Kuatoa in my life, I lose all the reins as DM. No control.
Excellent.
We needed like a nice fun one, I think, too.
Yeah.
I love a straight up roleplay episode in general, but this was so fucking funny. Just having you guys just... We needed a good montage training episode. Also, for everyone at home, the gang is level 5 now.
Yeah.
Not just Taluga. So
I'm a little bit more sneaky.
Yeah. Can we actually go around? I believe Theo, level 5 fighter, of course.
Level 5 fighter, yeah.
We got that second attack going.
Got 2 attacks. Now I can shoot twice.
Yep.
My HP went up.
Cosmo, your HP went up. You also get level 3 spells if you would like to start perusing those. There's some real fun ones. I don't like I've played a bard in a hot minute at level 5, but I know they get some real cool ones.
Well, the stuff that I have now that I can cast at 3 is great, like Dissonant Whisper.
Yep.
I mean, I used that in the first episode I showed up in, and that slayed, and then Heat Metal is like one of my favorite spells.
So cool.
Shatter and Thunder Wave, those are so clutch. I do have to pick my spells though.
Yeah, you get a couple new ones.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll work on that.
And Glebnor took another level in Rogue.
Yeah, so now I get Cunning Action, so awesome. I can bonus action dash or disengage.
Yeah, that's
or really, hide.
That's so good with the Barbarian multiclass. I've played Barbarian before, and it's been so tempting to dip Rogue for a couple levels just to get that. And yeah, the Way of the Pleen.
Yes!
This is a homebrew that I took the Astral Self Monk and just tweaked it to be goofy. So that's kind of where we kind of started. And level 3 is pretty loaded, though. So you're going to get some good stuff.
Yeah, Claws of... let me see.
Yeah, they got all dumb names. I used some like...
The Visage of the Plope?
Flipple Ploop.
Way to fuck up the name in the fucking actual episode.
Yeah.
Blip Dual Ploop.
Yeah.
Well, how could he possibly not mess it up?
Well, no, because there's...
He said Blooble Drip or
there's
something.
Blip Dual Pulp is the...
stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Is dumb. But that was when I was... There's Bopool Goal and Blip Loop Doop. So there's like 2 separate ones.
Bopool Goal is his title.
Yes.
Okay.
Blip Dual Pulp, I believe, is... There's... That's like real Kuatoa lore, I'm pretty sure.
But okay.
I mixed in some like legit Kuatoa lore. I believe, and then what is so Blip Dual Pulp is like the original real goddess of the Kuatoa. She's called the Sea Mother.
Okay.
She's
not Plu Plu Pleen.
No, she was what Plu Plu Pleen worshipped when he was champion.
Oh shit.
So
he was her champion.
He was her champion, basically. Right. Or he was her plope.
Okay.
The art for her is hilarious. It's like a hot naked woman, tits out, with a like crawdad head,
like a reverse mermaid.
Yeah, and like little lobster claws.
I love a reverse mermaid.
So yeah, you can that. I think there was actually a spell in I want to say like 3rd edition that if you were a like cleric for her, you could form a big claw. So I wanted you to have a version of that essentially for this. So. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, actually, can you read off your new features? If you wouldn't, for the people at home.
I got the Claws of Blip Dual Pool.
See, can't even say them now.
As a bonus action, I expend 1 key point, summon Claws of the Sea Mother. When I do so, each creature of my choice that I can see within 10 feet of me must make succeed on a wisdom saving throw, DC 14, or take 2d4 psychic damage.
Horrified by your big new claws.
And then for 10 minutes, I can use wisdom modifier, the astral monk stuff.
Yeah, you can use wisdom instead of dex or strength for your attack rolls.
The claws can make unarmed strikes. I can use reaction to deflect missiles, claws. And the rest is just... like,
yeah, the big change I made was I wanted to buff the deflect missiles. But
Well, it's like me and Gene punching those lightning bolts out of the
exactly.
sky.
So that was an improv thing I did in the moment because I was funny the idea of me and Gene punching guiding bolts out of the air. And I was like, oh, that'd be like a cool thing that monks should be able to do. So someone makes a range spell attack, he can try to deflect it, which I thought would be fun. But
it's pretty cool. Damage,
wax on.
Yeah. Really, when I was making the homebrew, I was like, I want to just lean into all of the sticky and slippery features. I can.
Yeah, so it was stick and slip, baby.
So funny.
So what was it for the deflect missile? It's a 1d10 plus my martial die plus my wisdom modifier plus my monk level.
Yeah.
So it's
because range spell attacks are a lot more damage than like a range like crossbow shot or something like that.
So I'll be plus 10.
I believe so. Yeah.
Jesus.
On top of the damage.
Well, yeah, but spell attacks do hit hard.
Yeah, so like if I hit him with like a guiding bolt,
yeah,
he can try to like knock that down by a good amount.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I wanted to give you stuff that would specifically help you against Stormcaller clerics, which I thought would be cool for later on in the campaign. Yeah.
You got to remember though, like you're balancing this stuff now, but you got to hit us harder as stuff gets.
Oh, I will be. I mean, I'm already hitting you guys a little bit harder.
I know he knows.
Yeah. I'm hitting you guys a little bit harder than I normally would in a campaign like this, but because we're doing Theater of the Mind and I haven't really done any combats that are like really complicated with like different terrains and different elevations and stuff yet. Sure. But because you guys are still kind of low level. I mean, I know we're 16 or 17 episodes in right now, but you're only level 5.
17.
I've been taking my time. And again, I think I'll probably park you guys at 5 for just a little bit.
That makes sense. Takes longer to level up, the stronger you get.
Exactly. And 5 is a big level in D&D. That's like where spellcasters get like that first big power bump. Martial fighters get their second attack, usually unless they're multi-class like you maniacs. but yeah, Jesus Christ, one episode though. That was so fucking funny.
That was a lot of fun. I just thought like, I don't know, like the dice was giving it so much like for the training montage.
Yeah.
Just rolling on fire. That was so fun. I don't know.
The fucking chowder.
That was the thing. Yeah. I don't know why like I have a determination to eat everything that's put in front of Cosmo.
Because Cosmo's a starving artist.
Exactly.
It makes perfect sense. He's like, free food, great.
Yeah,
it's
like, I am not wasting
this. I haven't eaten in 3 days.
I also just love that impulse when I'm a player where I'm like, the DM put a big funny red button in front of me. I want to push it.
And not only that, but like the first sight of the chowder, I was like, yeah, give me that. And everyone at the table is like, don't!
Yeah, Rich, if you hit me with another one of these fucking narrative nat 20s, I'm going to freak out.
What are you doing? Hey, I was rolling like crap for most of that, so.
So much so where you were checking your gun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It couldn't have been me.
No.
Another nat 20 religion to completely throw an encounter off balance. So funny.
Love it.
They're so good. I don't understand where they come from, but
comes from Bleebly.
Yeah. The divine.
The belief in Bleebly.
I legitimately think Kuoto magic is real.
That's another thing. Like Cosmo is, he's a godless heathen.
Yeah,
metalhead, and he's seeing all this miraculous stuff happen in front of him. He's like, maybe I gotta rethink my fucking devotions here.
Bleebly's looking pretty cool.
Gotta slide a pamphlet over to him. Become a Bleebly.
Wrap my taco around in that.
Yeah, I like.
Oh my god!
Business planning, by the way.
That was the original idea. Yeah, we're gonna use our not our pamphlets.
Metal
ones.
It's like like fish and chips. You put it in newspaper.
We aren't using paper. We got to find something else.
Yeah, well,
not across that tree.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, you know when you buy tacos, they give you like the little metal rack where you put the tacos in.
Yeah.
That's
what we'll do.
Yeah, that was fucking crazy. Like we've been kind of pushing these episodes a little bit longer, but I mean, how do I not end the episode on a brown note?
You gave me too much power.
Culmination.
Giving you a brown note.
Yeah,
I'm going to start every encounter just.
Like when you
everybody shit themselves for initiative.
Like when you described like how you would do Battle of the Bands in D&D, to me, I was like, I don't know how any of this is going to work.
Turns out
culminating on the brown note and pyrotechnics was not what I had in mind.
No.
A gunshot. Go figure. Yeah. And a gunshot. It's going to be like the end of it. Like, you know, AC/DC, like, you know, for those about to rock. Shit yourself.
Save your salutes.
Those about to rock. You've been doing those noises the whole campaign anyway. Yeah. Might as well.
Yeah, I mean, that this was also like, I just wanted like to just do a fun improv session. Yeah. I had like, yeah, I, like, cool. Literally my notes for this episode were like Suble Drip shenanigans.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, no, I'm like, we'll figure it out.
I like
get
knowing
there.
There's a real good chance I'm not going to die. Like, I can just do whatever I want. Yeah, it's not going to kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, I hate when you're playing D&D and you know that like, you're not going to get a long rest for a hot minute. And it starts making you like not use any of your features. And then it's like takes away all the fun, which don't like.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it's because the Chaos Crew is like influencing me, but I knew I had one bardic inspiration left. And I was like, fuck it. Let me use it for Taluga's training montage. And it paid off. It paid off because you got it by 1 point.
Yep.
Beat the that shit was awesome. Out of Gulp and made him shit himself.
Yeah, I
violently with that one.
Yeah, Gulp had he would have had one hit point left without the
that's crazy.
Beautiful.
That's so awesome.
Because like when you were like,
that's the beauty of D&D.
Yeah, once you gave him it, I was like, oh, okay. Because when you were like, oh, I did this much damage, and I was like, oh, he needs one more, and then I was like, whatever he rolls in the bardic,
it's gonna make it.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's so fun.
I love this game. Sometimes the dice like legit feel like they're like a collaborator where they're like, I got you, bro.
Yeah, they're like a character, right? Yeah, like totally. They're playing a piece in the which they are
totally
playing a role in the campaign.
Yeah, that was so fucking funny.
Had to dad crud real quick.
It was so funny. Because I'm like, how much time do I devote to this crud talk?
Yeah. And
then Gulp comes, where have you been?
Yeah, that was me, like, in crud.
Moving along.
Like, can we fucking stop with the business plan?
Because you know we would have talked to crud for the full hour.
I know.
To convince him to...
Yeah, it was...
We sent him off to Le Cordon Bleu.
I was going to say... I was going to be like, yeah, crud's like his... restaurant's an institution, he's not.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Crud's Tacos, a subsidiary of Plean & Co. Yeah.
Plean Co.
I remember, and just listening back to the talk back about the taco thing from last season, you know, we had the Baja Blast joke, but like, we were legitimately setting up like a taqueria.
Yeah. I know, all I'm saying is Yum Brands, there's a fucking... I'm just saying, like, it's all there for you.
Yeah.
We're handing it up on a silver platter.
We're exactly. Laying it out.
Like, we can get Doritos Locos in this bitch. It's all the same. I got no problem with it.
You put a crud taco on your menu.
Crud taco?
I don't know how that'll sell.
Well, five people will buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beef and staple
taco. Get the
blee-blee
value meal, you know.
Yeah.
Why was crud so against green lettuce?
It seems I don't know.
Like he loves just didn't wilt. Understand that like fresh lettuce was green.
I like the idea of a hobgoblin that didn't understand flavor.
It's so stupid. But when he tasted good stuff, he was like, wait, what have I been doing this whole time?
But like still resistant where he's like, she wants to use fresh lettuce and that doesn't seem right.
No, there's something off about that.
Dad real quick.
I was having like a real like DM panic moment where I was like, okay, Crud's voice is literally one octave lower than Mommy's. So I'm like, not only do we need to get the episode going, I have to get out of here because I don't know if this voice is going to match.
Yeah. Dude, Crud cutting up the fucking onion with a stapler.
Oh my god! Yeah, so pick out those staples.
It adds flavor.
Just trust me, man.
So fucking funny.
It's for those iron deficient teeth.
For our anemic fucking listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all inclusive staples. In the Church of Bleebly, right?
No, don't you remember I alienate people?
Yeah,
I'm also 100% sure Yehudel clipped the fuck out of the mic.
Oh yeah, you did.
I forgot that voice is such Yehudel. A high register. It's probably still doing it now, but sorry, Chris. By the way, all right, yeah. Super producer Chris, I'm so sorry if I'm making you do more editing.
I mean, shout out to Chris for everything.
Yeah, Chris always edits out anytime I shout him out. Fucking fuck you, Chris. Yeah. Keep this in. I'm not having it.
No, no.
You're a great producer. And we love you.
You have to do it twice. Shout out. Shout out, Chris.
Shouting out, Chris.
Chris, yeah. Shut up.
I'll just put it in the episode description.
Yeah.
See what you do about that.
All caps.
Yeah. Dynamite producer that is taking this really like fucking shambled together podcast and taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you people hear is a lot of work on his end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But
we bad at this.
Yeah. Sorry. Let's
keep that in.
Thank you. Yeah, keep that in.
Use that as one of the death metal growls. Yeah. Keep using those.
Yep.
It's just sad.
Oh yeah. By the way, that's another thing. I keep putting myself accountable every like in these situations where like, oh, write a unique riff for this, and I've done that like 5 times in like one episode. It's like.
You got a lot of work ahead of you there, buddy.
You gotta find the brown note.
I'm gonna do it. Yeah, right. No, I do. I do have, you know, I have a bass guitar and I have a drum kit and I have a synthesizer courtesy of Ryan and that I could.
He can buy a kazoo.
Well,
you can buy a bass kazoo.
I'm not gonna do that. I'm spending no money on this project. Are you kidding me?
Well, we make no money off this project, so there's no money to be spent.
It's a sinkhole of creativity.
Send me a bass kazoo. I will set up a P.O. box, if that even exists. I don't know.
I don't think
I'll get a P.O. box before then.
Yeah, right on.
Well, it's actually
Sergio Kazoo's into P.O. box. All right, Chris,
courtesy of Cosmos Kilroy.
We recorded this episode right after the Yum Brands Talkback episode had just released. So it is funny to listen to that episode because in that episode you're like, we're like shouting you out that you're going to do the intro music that you had not written yet.
Hadn't written, but managed to put it together.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds okay.
It sounds fucking rad. Especially the, I don't know what it is.
Situational awareness.
Situation awareness. I get fucking, I'm like, yeah, we're going to talk some shit now.
So, yeah, I don't know. And again, putting myself accountable, maybe I'll write something different for every season.
That'd be fucking sick.
Yeah.
That'd be dope.
That'll it forced me to improve.
And yeah. If you've heard a different intro riff for this episode, you know it's because Eric felt bad about what he said in this episode and had to do it.
Ooh. Was it not an Easter egg? Because it already happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, right, we've set up that.
Well, this is episode 17, so.
Yeah. Well,
you've been on for a number of episodes.
Yeah. The idea is that you guys will tease a special guest. And I was like, no one knows who I am. And then you guys are like, yes, they do. Episode 7 of Situational Awareness. It's like, oh, right. Yeah, of course, that big hit.
Hey, it's getting numbers.
It is. It is doing all right.
I just love doing episodes like this where it's like the pressure's a little bit off. And it's this is a bit episode.
Yeah.
It's
like, I love it either.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
I obviously suck at this game. So
no, stop it. You have a very cool character who's been crushing it in all of
like,
the
lab designed to be cool, who's not who I am.
So I play this game.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it is funny too, because like the power fantasy of your character is like, I just want to be like a musician who like actually means something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I keep that's trying, like a great power fantasy to have.
I keep shuffling through the cheat sheet to make sure I know names and whoever like that, like, oh, Cosmo is a staple in this town. Like,
totally.
People know who Cosmo is, and Cosmo knows who they
are. They're a well-known act.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And who doesn't know his way around the town?
God, Doreen is like my mom. I want Doreen.
Dude, I love Doreen.
She rules.
Poor Doreen.
In way over her head.
She's
did we talk about that? We talked about that in the last one, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, how we just go to Doreen
we
all
just
the
go
time.
To Doreen
like,
I don't know. I 10 bar.
Yeah. She was literally written as to be like some of the dwarves in this town have that lava skin. That was like her only, like, that was why she was there. Was
she's
like,
roped in now.
Yeah, yeah. Put pen to like, paper, buddy. Yeah.
Where's this? How do we cure curses, Doreen?
She's like, bounce a cleat?
I don't know. Do you want a drink?
I'm so worried that they converted Bouncicles.
Oh,
no,
I know he would do it.
No. Bouncicles would be.
I mean, you're
converted.
Right. Ryan would do that.
He would do it.
He would do
or
it.
He would kill him.
Yeah, it is funny.
I don't,
like,
he wouldn't do it off screen.
I think of myself as like a very like fun DM, but I do have a legitimate like reputation now amongst all of my players. Been like, yeah, Ryan hurts your feelings.
It's true.
Yeah. He like goes for your favorite NPC and then ruins everything.
Yeah. He would murder the one thing I could speak Minotaur to.
I don't think he'll murder the him one, off screen. It would be either
in my hands.
It would be like something that you end up murdering for whatever.
He
like,
has one
not
HP.
Purpose,
you play the brown like, oh, by yeah. accident. Yeah. He kills like, him,
or
you kill the mask like a disguise.
It has the fucking the pendant that has the earworm thing, yeah. and it's basically you know.
Oh, and he's like more.
Stop! Look at him. He's just fucking sucking it all in.
Yeah, oh yeah, no! We're giving him ideas.
You he's already thought of this.
I don't want to put it at the forefront of his mind.
And I do. I hate killing a character off screen. I don't like killing a character where the players don't have an opportunity to save them. But if I feel like the characters have made decisions that gives me an opportunity to kill a character, I will take them.
Which I'm pretty sure we did because we sent him after Felix.
Maybe.
Granted, you did tell us he had a lot of HP.
Yeah, no, he's jacked.
He's like an actual character.
He has like a pretty legit stat block. I gave him a legit stat block on the weird off chance you decided to fight him, which I didn't think you would do, but just in case.
I mean, it's fair.
Yeah, I killed.
No, he's a tired
it's
gun.
Not fair.
I killed
fair.
Fenric off screen, which I was again. And honestly, to go back a little bit to Arc 1, Fenric and Drogno, they died because you guys took a long rest in the hut.
Yeah,
it was. It gave me enough time to kill them, which is not a thing I love doing. And
but
again,
it works out.
And it gave you guys a lot of motivation to fight your fucking asses off.
To crusade against
exactly.
Counter crusade.
I killed Jennery because you guys left Felix alive. You could have finished him off. You could have left him, but you left him to the Kuotoa who were going to give him a little wooden prison that he.
Bleebly was a merciful god.
Yeah.
Bleebly is not a merciful god.
Not anymore.
The key word was.
Yeah. And again, not that you named him this on purpose, but you named your character Theo Justice. So I'm going to push you to decide what justice means for this campaign.
Oh, fair enough.
So, you know, you're not getting out of naming a character that without me.
You have so much responsibility, right?
Yeah, I know. It's
what
all
are you talking about. We established
Kuotoa law.
I'm becoming a god. I have all this responsibility. Like,
well, that's a big thing.
This
too. Like,
this is not anywhere
like
where I want to be.
Episode of Futurama.
We've kind of like taken it like. Obviously this is like a comedy podcast, so most of this is very funny, but you've forced a like young orphan with a traumatic backstory into godhood.
Yeah.
And like, what does that mean? And
oh, I'm a single like, dad. I think I can manage him.
Like what?
I'm older than you.
Fish daddy.
What are you talking about? Like, what is that power going to do to someone over the course of this campaign? And what does it mean to be a god of a like...
You try to turn him into
holy
Plutonian
shit, dude. I'm just saying,
God.
Like,
holy shit, dude.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a fun DM.
All right, now you're telling me I'm lying. You're a liar. That's a lie.
I see what you're doing here.
Yeah,
don't tell me I'm good.
He's
saying believe
Theo. He's to become the Plutonian.
I just
on a revenge quest.
Well, it's like, here's the thing, if you give someone with the first gun in a world the power of a god. And they have been through traumatic event after traumatic event. Like, what is going to happen to that person? It is your job to keep him a good god. That's what you've decided
we've
as
been
champion
crushing.
And
is this Attack on Titan?
No.
Shut up, Eric.
Did I do it again?
Eric can't be a guest anymore.
Cosmo died
off
from the
screen.
Brown note.
The brown note killed Cosmo.
Yeah, exactly.
Some say he's still shitting his pants.
I'm like not in any more episodes, inexplicably.
So yeah, we're going to have fun in this campaign. That's all I'm saying.
We've had fun in this campaign.
Yeah, we're going to do it up.
We've had fun. I can't say we will have any
more fun. Certainly on the
anything
I have to say about it, we will have fun.
So it's very cool going into arc two and being like, all right, we have a really nice foundation, but now we're going to start really building those arcs out, which I think is what we're ready for.
Right on.
So yeah, fuck yeah.
And it's tactical growth.
Keep fucking tuning in, dudes.
Yeah. That was a hefty talkback episode.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
Hey, listen, if you like that and you want more, make sure you let us know in the comments because we want to hear them. Tell us. Tell us what you think. I'm sick of you people not telling me what you think. Go to the house!
Keep it dicey.
This has been a Business Shark production.